Hello. Welcome to Ageless, the 50-plus podcast. We are not old. We are not young. We are the tweeners. And I have with me here Kestrel. I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
It's Chervenak.
Oh, Kestrel Chervenak. And you are a chakra. And what else?
So chakra. I'm a perimenopause specialist. I work with balancing your hormones through chakra alignment, breath work, meditation, yoga, through basically working not just with your biology. And I am passionate and super nerdy about biology and about, you know, everything that's going on physically, but also how that ties into all of the other bodies. So the chakras, the energy bodies, the energy that we have, and the breath, how that affects it. And then deepening into the brain and the neuroscience and our mind chatter, as well as just like what we have stored in our system. So really looking at past trauma, looking at, because everything that you're experiencing physically, you have already experienced emotionally or energetically, and now it's just showing up in your body. So when I work with hormones, I'm not just trying to balance your hormones physically. I am trying to do that and help you. And I go deeper so that you don't ever have to deal with hormonal imbalance again.
Wow, that is a lot to take in. So now for people that aren't familiar with chakras, we can explain to them what they are, what they do, their little energy balls spinning in our body.
And they're located in, again, I talked about there's five different aspects of our body. So we have our physical body, which we're all very aware of.
Right.
And then in the next layer is the pranamaya, and it is the breath body. And that's where the chakras
pranamaya.
And they are spinning balls of energy. They spin, so it depends on which chakra you're talking about, but they spin both counterclockwise and clockwise. And this is because of the lines of energy that we have. So we have a feminine descending energy, the Ida, and then we have an ascending masculine energy, and they cross over through the center line of our body, and anywhere that they cross, that's what makes the chakras spin. And so the chakras basically are these energy centers in our body that collect information for us, basically. So energy just flows through us, right? As human beings, we're able to take in 4 billion bits of information per second. That's why you drive down the road and have your window open and watch a squirrel run across the road and you see the trees and you know how to drive and you're eating a sandwich and you have the radio on and the kids in the back, and like none of it stops you.
Right.
Really only gets stopped by emotional energy, emotional block. So say you're driving the same road and all of a sudden you see a light blue convertible on the side of the road with someone who looks like your partner and someone with your partner, and you like drive on, but you don't necessarily leave that situation because it activates all of these different energy centers in your body, and it will activate any trauma that you have with your significant other, any trauma that you've had with being abandoned, any kind of, so basically the chakras are storers of the emotions that we have in our body, and they become the triggers through which all information comes into us. And so that's why we respond to things the way that we respond, is because of the chakras.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I thought that you just clear them or you don't clear them, and you can feel which chakra might be blocked when you do a meditation. The feelings that come and to work on it is to clear it with energy. Do you do any special clearing, or do you have the person imagine it spinning and clearing with the color?
I do, because I think that it's a really good way to get in touch with the chakras and to see like where you might be storing the most emotional energy. But I work in a more specific way in terms of each of the chakras has its own kind of basically, I really like to use it because it's a blueprint for everything that has happened in your life, right? So I like to use the chakras as that guideline. So your root chakra, for example, is your relationship to money. It's your relationship to food and your body. It's your relationship to your family. It's your relationship to shelter and sanctuary, and it's your relationship to your inner child and inner child trauma. So there's a lot in that one chakra. The next one is sexuality, sensuality. It's emotions, it's creativity. It's so all of the chakras have these, they are the holders of everything that has happened to you. And so the way that I look at chakras is not just you can just clear them with energy. I wish that would be awesome if we could just, clear the chakras and everything's good. But it's more like a fishing line that gets knots in it. So these knots are known as samskara. And when we have a samskara, have you ever tried to untangle a fishing line?
Yes, I know what you're taught. Yes.
And is there ever just one knot?
No.
No, there's like a huge clump of knots, right? They are attracted to each other. The chakras are the same way. So in the work that I do, I'm teaching you how to untangle these knots. And
Okay.
so there's not going to be one through line either. Like you'll untangle one and then you'll have to move on to the next one. And that one may be in the root chakra, but it may be in the heart. It may be in
Right.
the third eye. So we're when I do work with you, it's I'm again using it as a blueprint and a roadmap to figure out, okay, where do we go next? Like what is the next thing that is triggering you? What is the next thing that is giving you the messages that your body is responding to? What are your core beliefs around all of these different areas in your life?
Oh wow. I'm a recovered from eating disorder. I helped start Eating Disorders Anonymous years ago, but I was still not ready. I wonder what like scars my root chakra has from that. It's very interesting
Yeah.
because we
Also,
recover, but we still have the effects of the behavior. You can recover, but you still have definitely have the effects and the psychological trauma from it for years.
you also have the root cause of what caused the eating disorder in the first place, right? So until you really clear that, I am also an eating disorder survivor. So have actually really looked at this and like really tried work within the chakras. And what I find is that yes, there are so many patterns that I developed through having the eating disorder, but the bigger, deeper pattern that I have to work on is what caused me to have an eating disorder in the first place.
Okay, so say it was dysfunction and abuse that made it. What would you?
So I would definitely start with like I would start with inner child, and I would start with what age were you when you developed your eating disorder? Okay, let's go back and let's unwind that knot because that created a knot and it's in the root chakra, it's in survival, it has to do with food, right? And again, when we're an eating disorder survivor, our relationship with food is very tied into that first chakra, into that survival, because we don't even know how to survive.
And you have to work on your inner child. I'm doing that work. It's very painful. It's
It
not.
can be. I try to make sure that all of the work that I'm doing, while it might be emotional in the moment, isn't painful, right? That
Oh, wonderful.
it's really taking it and that it, again, it you should feel the emotion. So there should be anger or sadness or grief or but that it shouldn't necessarily, and it can be, depending on the traumas that you've experienced, depending on what you experience as a child, can be very painful, especially if we feel like we were abandoned, or if we feel like we self-abandoned. So that I think is what most people find really painful is knowing, oh, there's an aspect of myself that I completely abandoned.
Oh, interesting. I never thought of it that way. That is very interesting. And then what happens after you?
a lot of work with reclamation. I do a lot of work with reclaiming your inner child, of connecting to, and then no, like giving her the guidance, you're safe, and you're safe because I'm here. That you become the parent that you needed for your inner child, and that you really listen to what your inner child is needing. And sometimes she needs to have a temper tantrum. Sometimes she needs to just be held. Sometimes she just needs to be loved. I do this with all of the aspects of ourselves. So I will do this too with the shadow sides of ourselves. So we abandon, again, anytime we feel like we're not lovable, anytime someone took their love away from us. So it was a breakup. If it was a parent yelling at us or a teacher telling us we weren't good enough or whatever, when we felt like, ooh, I am not lovable for this behavior, we will, that becomes our shadow side and we abandon it. We're like, oh, I can't do that. And so I will go back and we do a reclamation. We're really good at forgiveness to other people. We're not as good about
Exactly.
forgiving ourselves. And so I do a whole meditation that is based on forgiveness and being with the person in the moment when they felt the most broken. So when you were, you fell to your knees, you were broken in every way, you go back to that aspect and you really love it and say, I'm here. And just the way that you would a best friend, anyone that you saw who was on their knees, you would go to them. But we don't do that. We don't do that for ourselves. We're like, I'm never going back there.
That's very important, the inner child work, and I always thought it was so like woo-woo, and until I started getting into it and seeing that everyone basically needs that work to heal the inner child. And it worked, because once I started on a few little steps, I've come very far. Like, I didn't like doing things, having commitments, and a coach told me, you're keeping yourself safe. You're keeping that, yeah. So that really resonates. There's so much work. Too bad this wasn't the norm in doctors and the physical.
We want to make things simple, right? And so we're like, okay, I just treat the physical. And then we have therapists that just treat the mental. And then we try to pick the body apart and just work on that one thing. But we're whole beings and we are really way more complex with way more layers. So when I work, I don't just work on one aspect. I'm working on every single aspect and teaching you, giving you the tools so that you can do that. So that you can, oh, okay, like this is how I'm feeling physically. Now let me check in. I need breath work. I need to go reclaim this aspect of myself. I need to really connect to my own intuition. I really need to connect to the divine. Like there's so many different ways that we can the and it's completely different than what the Western medicine is great at emergency medicine. It is the best. Absolutely, hands down the best. And it's amazing for that. But not everything in our life is an emergency. And I feel like sometimes it will push us into an emergent situation because that's what they know how to handle. Instead, I'm heading towards this. What do I do? They're like, don't know. Like, there's not as many answers. And so that's where I'm trying to fill in the gaps of like, hey, like, you know that things aren't quite right. You know things are out of balance. You know that you're depleted. You know that you're heading in this direction. Let's bring all of that beauty and vitality back. And I love that you're like, we're the tweeners. Like we're not old. We're not young. We're because we really are. We have so much more life to live. And I feel like so many people kind of give up and are like,
And they think if at this age they haven't done it or they're too old. No, we are tweeners. We have, like you said, so much to live, so much to give, so much knowledge, and we can start healing and doing things at this age. It's not too late. It's not,
we still have a lot of time left. Like you should, this is exactly the time that you should be. And I feel like we have so early on in our 20s, we have lots of energy, but we have no knowledge and no experience. So we have to go have those experiences in our 30s. so many of us are in like parenting roles, right? Like
Right.
we're focusing, and you, that is a season, and that is a stage where you don't, you cannot be as resourced or give yourself as much self-care as you would want to. It's just
Right.
not possible. And then we get into like our late 40s and 50s, and we're like, okay, I have neglected my own self-care for years
Right.
now, but I
Right.
still have so much more to do and so much more to offer. And all of a sudden society is telling me that I'm useless and used up, and that I have nothing to offer.
Exactly. That's why I created this. I got mad. I
Yeah.
got so annoyed that I felt too old and that I wasn't fitting in. So I wanted a niche for our community. Yeah, because we're not used up.
Not at all. We have so much more. And I think when we understand, first of all, our biology, which I find that a lot of women don't understand their own biology.
Okay.
And then things start to change for us. So we've never understood it. Then it starts to change, and we're like, what in the world do I do with this? Like, I'm having all of these symptoms, I'm having all this stuff. And they're like, they can't be this, like it shouldn't be this way. And I agree, it shouldn't be that way. But I don't think that there's as much education. Our doctors aren't educated.
No.
There's
Yeah.
so little information. And I've been watching women and talking to lots of women. They're like, why isn't there like a handbook? Why isn't there some sort of pamphlet to tell me what's going on? And I'm like, if you understand the ideal biology of it, you can then course correct around that. And then when you also understand that everything that you've experienced is why you're now experiencing the symptoms you are, then you have even more tools to course correct, to then make these years be the most powerful, the most intense, like the most dipping into our potential that's possible. I think
Yes.
it now, which I think is so cool.
Exactly. And we can start now and be very, very powerful. What do you find women have symptoms now at this age? What are they experiencing? I know everyone, there's so many, but do you find a common one?
So, what I find is that women don't understand the endocrine system. So, we kind of want to be like, oh, perimenopause is these symptoms, right?
Right.
But we can't, there's not a one size fits all, because you're not a one size fits all person. You have lived through things that I can't even imagine. You
Right.
have had experiences that I've never had. So, for you to be like, okay, well, what are you doing for hot flashes? I can give you some ideas, but without knowing, like, what is the health of your pancreas? What is the health of
Oh.
your adrenals? Like, what is your entire endocrine system doing? So what I see often is women asking about a list of symptoms, thinking it's
Right.
menopause and it's related to the ovaries. And I'll be like, ooh, that's definitely thyroid. Oh,
Oh.
that's definitely liver. Oh, that's definitely adrenals. So we also have to know, like, yes, all of those things are going to affect the ovaries and affect our perimenopause experience, but we also need to deepen into, and like, this is what I have found so fascinating as I've deepened into this work, is how much our cycle, how much information and communication our cycle gives us every single month.
Okay.
That, like, you can just from knowing the length of your cycle, you can determine, ooh, maybe my adrenals are really depleted, right? Oh, I think my thyroid is really off right now. Any cycle that's over 35 days off is a sign of hypothyroidism. Any cycle that is under 24 days is a sign that your adrenals are shot. Like, there's liver congestion can really play a big part too. So I see women having all of the, like, and it's never just like one main symptom that they're having. Hot flashes is one that we complain about. And like, because estrogen and progesterone are kind of doing a dance throughout our lifetime. And when they get off, that's what causes the hot flashes. That's what causes migraines. And most migraines are hormonal. So there's all this study too that's like, we don't really know what causes migraines. I'm like, it's hormones. Like,
Oh, wow.
90% of the time, it's a hormone imbalance that's causing your migraine. It causes stomach issues. It causes a lot of pain and inflammation, because estrogen is the lubricant for our body. It causes
Okay.
a lot of depression because when progesterone drops down, and that's something that happens to a lot of women, is that we have an estrogen dominance because we live in a really estrogen dominant world. There's estrogen in everything. There's estrogen in plastics and phthalates and parabens, and there's so many different endocrine disruptors. When we get overloaded with that, it's called xenoestrogen. When we get overloaded with that xenoestrogen, then our brain looks down and is like, oh, plenty of estrogen. And it's at a time when we're starting to downregulate estrogen anyway. So the brain is like, just shut it off. So when it shuts off estrogen, it also shuts down progesterone and testosterone. And so what I see for a lot of women who are really struggling is that they're living in this perpetual luteal phase. And luteal phase is in a normal cycle, we have a luteal phase, and the end of it is right before our period. It's when we get really PMS-y. It's when we get really tired. It's when we just are not very resourced. We feel insecure. We feel ugly. We feel, like it's that, ugh,
Horrible,
the
yes.
worst, right? What happens to women in perimenopause is when they have the estrogen dominance, and then their body is naturally producing less estrogen, it's now producing less progesterone, they bottom out on hormones. And then progesterone is really, really important for our brain health. It really works together with GABA, with dopamine, with serotonin, which are all the chemicals that we need in our brain to be happy. And so we find ourselves in a perpetual luteal phase. So can you imagine living your life in that week before your period?
I think I have. I'm kidding.
Right? But I think that's what a lot of women are facing. And it's like we need to figure out, for those women, I recommend a liver cleanse to get rid of the xenoestrogens. And this might be the time to look at hormonal replacement therapy. And I always recommend bioidentical because I feel like synthetic hormones, our body doesn't produce those. But if your body isn't producing any hormones, like, you need them. And that's what's going to make you feel. You don't need Prozac. You don't need Paxil. You don't
No,
need
no,
antihormones.
no.
You need hormones. And so
Right.
at
How
that point,
get them? How would you get
so
hormones?
there are several people who are working on it. In my town, there's a med spa that offers HRT therapy, and the doctor who works there is amazing. You might have to just look around, but like, there are people who are being educated and know how, and you can get a lot of bioidenticals, like there's just online, so you can kind of look and see. And if bioidentical is definitely what I would recommend, and I would recommend. So, blood testing for hormones can be really tricky because we cycle, and so our hormones are not at the same place every day. But if you feel like you've bottomed out and you are in that perpetual luteal phase, that's when I would say get your hormones tested, because my guess is that they've bottomed out and you need a little help. If you're still cycling and you're like, oh, I still have a luteal phase and it's about, 4 to 5 days before my period, that's normal. That's totally good. Like, that's totally fine.
Now, I've heard hormone therapy isn't good for you. I
Well,
have.
there was a study that was done, I think back in the 90s, where they gave a bunch of menopausal women. So menopause, the definition is 12 months after your last period. So they were giving all of these women who were basically post-menopause all of this HRT, and that was causing problems because it was too late. It was at a time in their life when they didn't need their hormones to be elevated like that. It's really in the time period leading up during our perimenopause phase. And perimenopause starts at 35, by the way. So if you're listening to this and you're over the age of 35, you're in perimenopause, even if you're not having any symptoms yet. So, and HRT isn't necessary for every woman going through perimenopause. It's just for those women who have bottomed out, who are living in that perpetual luteal phase, who are like, I can't make it through without an antidepressant. Again, you probably don't need an antidepressant.
I feel like they harm more than good unless you are really, really need it.
Exactly. Like, and again, like my whole theory is like, so I talk about like rewiring your whole system, right? But if you on fire, right? Like if your house is on fire and I come in and I'm like, yeah, the house is on fire, let's rewire. That is not the time or the place to do that. When you're
Exactly.
me and you're on fire, I'm going to put out the fire first. And the way I do that is I do a comprehensive hormone assessment where I look at all of your symptoms and then I say, okay, yes, like we need to look at your adrenals. We need to cleanse your liver. We need to do all of these things. And if in this phase you need hormone replacement therapy or you need thyroid medication or whatever, this is the time to use it, but as a bridge,
Right.
like get your body back on track to put the fire out so that then we can start to rewire and get you so that you are medication free.
Now, what would you suggest for a liver cleanse?
So a liver cleanse, I suggest a 30-day cleanse. And there's lots of liver cleanses that are like 3 days or 6 days. And the liver is sort of like an onion in that it has different layers to it. And so the outside layers, the liver really prioritizes different toxins. So it will prioritize what will kill you first, right?
Right.
It'll
Right.
prioritize drugs and alcohol. It will prioritize over-the-counter medications because those are very toxic and can kill you right away. It will prioritize sugar, like too much sugar in our bloodstream can kill us.
Right.
So the
Wow.
liver is making these priorities, right? But hormones are also toxic to our body. The liver is responsible for getting rid of excess hormones, and it's responsible for getting rid of emotions. So emotions are chemicals in our body too that are very toxic. And so
Right.
it will. But this is why when we are feeling angry and we're like, I don't want to feel angry and I don't want to deal with anger, we'll like go drink a margarita
Right.
because we're like, I can't deal with this. The liver then sort of encapsulates that emotion and like sets it aside. It kind of puts it in your fat cells and then goes and deals with the margarita because that will kill you first. So what
Right.
I like about a 30-day liver cleanse is that you get into all of the different layers. You get those outer toxins and those get out of the way. And then you go a little bit deeper. You can then start to cleanse out the excess hormones. And then you start to ex then you start to get into the emotions. So yeah, I do a 30-day liver cleanse, and it's liver, colon, kidneys, it's skin, it's lungs, it's all of the detox organs. And what I do is through a company called doTERRA.
Oh, I know doTERRA, of
Yeah.
course. Yes. Wow, I'm taking bat Bach flower essences right now to break the anxiety and forgive myself for, people that have suffered abuse. They don't forgive themselves for choices they've made, whatever that is. So I'm taking them. I'm getting kind of a weird reaction as she said 2 drops. I think I should do 1 drop because at night I can't sleep as good, and it's just not making me feel, it's making me feel weird.
And yeah, it's good to be working with somebody who knows, and can help you and say, yeah, it's 2 drops is recommended, but you're really sensitive, so just do one.
Well, I'm that. But doTERRA is really good. I've heard that they are great. So you would get the liver cleanse from them.
Yeah. So it's called the Cleanse and Restore, and I do a light cleanse because you can get deeper and really get into the gut. But I feel like for some people who are already really depleted, doing that gut cleanse can be too much. So again, I like to work with people and say, okay, what is it that we want to do? What is the biggest issue for you? If it's liver, I skip over that gut cleanse part because it's too much. And I've had people are like, this is way too much. What I also really like about the doTERRA cleanse is that on the other side, so a lot of cleanses will leave you really depleted. This one actually has antioxidants and probiotics that you take at the end so that you're not just leaving your system depleted, but you're actually like giving it resources to come back stronger.
Wow, I've heard of coffee enemas for a liver cleanse or something. I have no idea, but I heard a guy on a podcast talking about that's good. Would you recommend that?
I don't have any experience with coffee. With coffee enemas, so do your research on that one. I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting. but
I've seen it. I've heard about it. I don't have any personal experience, and I don't have any training or background in that. So I don't know. I don't know.
So you also do breath work?
Yeah, so I have a program that I've created, and again, it's really looking at the physical because that's usually what is the most immediate for people. It's the thing that's on fire. So I really look at a comprehensive list of your symptoms. And for anybody who's listening, I'm happy to send you this hormone assessment. It's totally free to take it. And then if you want to deepen into it, you can schedule a call with me. And then when I'm working with people, I do set up a regimen for them of supplements, of essential oils, of different workouts, working with the female biology as well, and working with their depletions and imbalances, and then give them food options. So mine isn't so much about eliminating, although I will say, like, alcohol, sugar, and processed foods are not great for us, right? But that you can add foods into what you're, I don't necessarily say like paleo or keto or whatever. Like, I do recommend that it is like a blood sugar balanced diet. So there's a way of eating that way. And then we deepen into, okay, so here are your depletions. Here's what we're doing physically to balance that out. Now let's dive into the chakras. Let's dive into, okay, you are working with inner child, so let's work with inner child. And there are different oils, but there's breath work that is really, really supportive for just getting into your first chakra, just getting into your body. Sometimes people, again, we're aware of our physical body and not aware of our physical body. And so for people who have a really hard time meditating, we'll just start with breath work. Because a lot of times, like, they're like, my mind spins, I can't even sit there. It's annoying, like, it's awful. And I'm like, good, then let's just work on the breath.
I used to hate breath work. I couldn't breathe correctly. And then I did a 7-minute one. And after it, I felt 10 years younger. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
It
it's
was amazing.
incredible. And there's so many different, again, I have a breath work exercise for every single chakra. So
Oh, really? And where can we find that on your
so I do have I will send that, you can share this with your people too, is that I have, it's called Shameless Self-Care. And so there's a little book that I send out that has like seven things that you can do for each of the chakras. And usually I have breath work included in that. And then I also have another ebook that is, what are all the chakras? What are they all about? And then there's breath work for each one. And that's
That is so
perfect.
interesting. I've never heard of breath work for a chakra, for each chakra.
Yeah,
That's
it's so
amazing.
powerful because, they're energetic, they're vibrational, and so is the breath. So just bringing the breath into it and breathing in these certain ways really helps to free up the chakra.
And what about has anyone that you know have a Kundalini awakening? I've heard of that as well. I haven't had one, but I've had a spiritual awakening. I've always been spiritual, so that was easy. So,
Know anyone personally. I have heard of them too, and I think it's so cool. And like,
yeah,
I
I
do,
want.
I also included in my program is also movement. So I work with yoga, Pilates, with some bow spring, and I do a lot of spiraling. So I was telling you about the spirals that the chakras make. So root chakra goes counterclockwise. So in my movement classes, we always spiral through the chakras, and it really is kind of spiraling with that Kundalini energy in mind, of that energy rising.
After your class, they must feel amazing.
Yes. And very relaxed. Like, I usually teach a 7:30 p.m. class, and people are like, I'm ready to go to bed. And I'm like, yes.
And where are you located?
I'm in Pueblo, Colorado, and I do have some classes online as well.
Oh my goodness, my daughter lived in Colorado Springs and we never went through Pueblo, but we were near it. I love Colorado. But it's so amazing what we can do with healing if we do a full circle. Instead of just trying to heal one thing, You have to create a full circle of events, and you can freely heal. And people have to understand it's not conventional, but it works.
Well, and it makes the most sense. Like, to me, it's the most logical. It's the most scientific way to approach it is to think that we can divide people up into their different symptoms and just work on those certain symptoms is insane. Like,
And it's
also,
coming out dated, that notion is really becoming dated. Yes.
but it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
No.
so again, to me, when I'm working with people, I'm creating a whole program that is not, it's, it is going to be for your physical. And if you've ever bought a program to lose weight and not been able to get through it, I can tell you why, right? Because you're probably trying to fight through your biology, which is luteal phase. And anytime
Right.
we try to fight through luteal phase, which is what most programs tell you to do, you hit a roadblock, and then it burns you out and it crashes your nervous system so hard that it'll take 4 to 6 weeks for you to decide to pick it back up again. So that sounds familiar, right? Is that you like hit it hard for 3 weeks. You're like, I'm doing this diet, I'm doing this exercise, I'm getting it, like I feel great, I'm pushing through, this is so hard, I'm gonna do it anyway. And then you're like, screw it, I forget it. And then
Exactly.
it takes you another 4 to 6 weeks to pick it back up. It's because you've tried to push through luteal phase. You've tried to push through this place in your own biology where it's like, no, that's the time to rest. That's the time to really honor and to stop pushing, to like, I'm going to honor that I just want to sit and rest right now.
Right. And do you read people's blood work or are you?
I am studying to do that. I'm getting a certification to be able to study blood work. I really want to be able to offer bioidentical hormone therapy as well. I'm not at that place at this point in my practice. So, but I can recommend like, ooh, like let's get you some blood work
Right.
because I think you're so low, that you need some other interventions.
Right. So you can get people's their symptoms. You can tell by their symptoms what they need, what chakras that need help with, do the breath work. That is amazing. And you get very good results.
Yes. I'm actually currently working with a woman who has had PCOS her entire life. She came to me and she's like, oh my gosh, I've had horribly painful periods. I'm never getting off of my IUD. This is the only thing that makes this bearable. And I was like, okay. And can I just talk to you about that? Like, can I educate you a little bit about that? And so we started talking about it. And so when I say that, like, your body is always listening to what you're telling it, her mom thought she was a boy. So she had even given her a boy's name. She was like, I don't want to be a woman. I have always wanted to be a boy. I have a boy's name. I feel like being a woman is weak. I don't want anything to do with it. I was like, okay. So PCOS is an excess of testosterone, the male sex hormone. So her body was like, yeah, okay, you want to be a boy. Like, here's as much testosterone as we can throw at you. PCOS is also insulin resistant, which is third chakra, that's pancreas. So third chakra is really sense of self, sense of who you are, your own self-acceptance. And she has uncontrollable cravings and insulin resistance because her body on this very basic level is just craving acceptance, is craving for her to love the person that she is, and she's rejecting it on this fundamental level. So like,
Wow.
as I've been working with her, she's deepening into being a woman, finding the strength in being a woman. And she's like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to cycle and to let go of this PCOS diagnosis. And like, her biology is actually changing.
Wow, that is so amazing. I wish I had known you when I used to have long, heavy periods. That where you couldn't get out of bed. Probably would have helped.
Yeah, anyone who is struggling with that, I have another client who, I always say, like, well, I'm not a doctor, but what the doctor offered this client for her long, heavy periods was a hysterectomy. And I was like, hold on, wait, just work with me for 6 weeks. And she did. And she was able to cancel the hysterectomy. Like, we were able to correct those imbalances, because getting a hysterectomy doesn't correct the hormonal imbalance that's causing the heavy bleeding. It just takes out your uterus.
Right,
So,
and you're still left with pain and
and all of this hormonal dysfunction and all of this imbalance. So I'm again working with you on a very physical level, on a biological level, but then going deeper into, like, okay, so, like, what is causing the dysfunction in the first place?
right. That is absolutely amazing because it just shows that everyone can be healed on
Yeah.
a different level. And do you do Reiki as well?
I
Or
am a Reiki master, but I did that in like a weekend. So it's not, it's also, it's like, it's in there, but it's not necessarily part of my repertoire. I do guided meditation. I do intuitive chakra healing. So I
interesting.
can go in and look at each of your chakras, see how the energy is running through the
Love
chakra,
it.
and then help you to move the energy or to bring in more energy. So just, using the energy from Mother Earth, using the universal energy, and just like resourcing your chakras a little bit better. Or sometimes the chakras are like they have too much energy. And so just
Right.
like, let's redistribute that. Let's move that through your body. And I find that it also is a good place to jump off for, like, okay, so what's going on? Like, what are you experiencing? That again, we can start to untie those knots and free up the space in your body.
Yes, and chakra healing's amazing. I wish people would, that would be part of the medical establishment because people don't understand, but I've done chakra work and felt so much better after doing. It's a different type of feeling that you can't explain. I would highly recommend it. Yeah. So, do you have anything else to add?
Oh, do I have anything else? I feel like I've been talking for an hour.
Yeah. But it's so interesting and it's so relevant, and we really all need this. I'm so glad you shared. And hopefully people will listen and contact you as well, if not for anything, for chakra healing.
And I do offer, I have a full program that is to help you with your hormones and to help manage to really any imbalance in your hormones. But I also just offer chakra sessions if you just want to do a chakra session with me. If you want to do a hormone assessment and get a full protocol for, how to start to heal some of your symptoms. If you want to get the, I have these oils that I created as well. So these are my chakra balancing oils, and they were created, again, looking at the physical body and looking at the oils that were really good for adrenals, for ovaries, for pancreas. So they're going to give you all of the really good physical support that you need. And then intuitively, I asked the oils, I was like, okay, who wants to come and play? And my process is, I had them kind of come forward. And then my process is to, like, take all the caps off the bottles and smell them. And for some of them, I was like, I don't know how to blend these so that they'll smell good. But as I worked with the oils, I've actually learned more about the chakras from the oils than I have from anything else that I've done. Because they
Oh
really
my.
came forward to be like, this is what I, like, this is what this chakra is really about. And this is what I'm doing for you.
Wow, that is amazing. And it sounds like fun doing it while you were doing it. I love oils. That is so cool.
They're so
So,
fun, and I wanted something that women could do for themselves. Like, we
right.
have a lot of time, and we feel like, I know I need self-care, but, like, I don't have a day to go to the spa and do all the thing. And, like, this takes less than 2 minutes. You put the oils on each of your, it's mostly the chakra points line up with your endocrine system glands exactly, except for your adrenals. So your root chakra is located at your perineum. We don't put oils on your perineum. We put them on your low back, on your adrenals.
Right.
And then, like, you go up through the system, but you're able to balance your hormones and balance your chakras all at the same time. And so people, I've given, I've done this with hundreds of women, and it's always that I ask them at the end, like, how do you feel? And they're like, I feel like zipped up. I feel centered. I feel calm. I feel in my body. Like it really is this way of going from feeling frazzled and stressed to feeling just powerful and in your body again.
That is absolutely amazing.
Thank
I
you.
absolutely love it. And so tell everyone where they can find you and get the oils or whatever they might need from you.
Okay, so I have a website which is the hyphen chakra, chakra hyphen solution.com. There is a quiz to find out which of your chakras is out of balance. I will be putting my hormone assessment up there as well. So it's a free comprehensive hormone assessment. It'll just tell you what's out of balance. And then you can always just contact me and do a free consult with me. I call it a free hormone mastery call. And we will just put together a roadmap for if you are having hormone imbalance, or if you just want to, or if you just feel like you have some chakra imbalance, we'll put together a roadmap for you. That can be really, really transformative. And again, I just find that when you work from this deeper level, like you don't have to worry about hormone imbalance ever again. Because you know what to do.
Right. That sounds really great. It really does. That's amazing. It's amazing. The oils look so amazing. I love it.
Get some. Yeah,
Yes, I'll check you out. I'll check them out after. So I think that we've covered pretty much everything. And I thank you so much for coming on. This was amazing. I just thought we were going to be talking about perimenopause and chakras and
look at that. We
look.
really went deep on this one. We
Yes.
covered a lot of ground.
Yes. So thank you so much for coming on. And I'll say goodbye. And the next time, everyone contact Kestrel. And goodbye, everyone.